Hello, everybody.
And welcome back.
This is Cereal from the Box. My name is Gianna.
And I'm Murray.
And on this show, we talk about eating food, loving life, loving yourself, accepting others, and accepting your true form as a human.
My true form as a as an alien.
Gasp.
I am not from this planet.
You are not from this world. You are better than this world, Marie.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Also, just so everyone knows, Marie's name is also Elsa. So if you are like
Oh,
trying to figure out like who is Marie, like you've done your digging, Marie's middle name is Marie and her first name is Elsa, and there's a mix-up somewhere down the line and
and now I exist as both and neither and everyone at the same time.
but we love that about
Yeah.
you.
So, fun fact about me. Gianna, what's a fun fact about you now that we've
A fun
unleashed this?
fact about me.
I guess I have to come with it since you shared
Yeah.
mine.
There's
What
nothing
is a
fun
fun
about
fact about
me.
you? That's not true. Don't say that about yourself. Well, a behind the scenes fact about Gianna is that she always eats some form of noodle while we're recording.
It's true.
And it's the cutest. I ate spaghetti tonight and I thought of you.
I just get home from work and then I don't want to be recording at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So
Gotta
here we are.
fit
It's
it
like
all into your
nine.
schedule.
I've gotta fit it in, but you know what? This is important. It's
Yeah.
important to create quality content.
Yeah, another behind the scenes fact about Gianna is that in kindergarten we made these t-shirts for our dads where we all put like paint on our hands and then
I
put
didn't
our
know it was for
handprints on
our
them.
dads. I
I
thought it
think
was
it was
for
supposed to
me.
be for our... No, I think it's just that's why I don't have mine. Okay, well anyways, the bottom line of this story is that Gianna still has hers several years later. And I think that's very cute, and I like that a lot. Mine is gone because my dad used it for probably 2 seconds, and it's now in the garbage, I guess.
No,
RIP.
I've worn mine for pajamas for so many years.
I think like I did that too at one point. It just at some point it, didn't work out. I don't know.
C'est la vie.
Yeah.
Anyways, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
Oh my God. So the the semester is basically over for like school. So with that, I don't know. Just comes the usual like stress of exams, and quarter life crises
Oh
about
no.
what am I doing with myself and my future and whatnot. And also just like I don't know, like productivity wise, like I had like a take home, not like a take home. Everything was take home. It's Corona season. But we had like an exam that was like short answer that we were supposed to work on, and I thought that we were supposed to like it was supposed to be due on the day that we have classes, which is Thursday. So this was like Thursday of last week. I thought that we were supposed to have it due by midnight then. And then I didn't realize until like after, because I did not have time to work on it before Thursday. And we got it like maybe the week before or over the weekend or something. I did it all in one day in like an 11-hour sitting.
Oh my God.
Because it was kind of a long, in terms of like thoroughness of responses, it was kind of a long test.
Yeah.
And it was probably not until like 11 p.m. that I realized on the test that it said it was due at like on Saturday at midnight, but that felt
Oh.
wrong. And I was not like my professor prefers if we like text her or call her in order to get information across. And I'm just like not the comfiest with that. I did it once one time when I was like kind of freaking out because she was like,
Oh.
she hadn't sent like a Zoom link for our class, and it was already 6 p.m., which is when we have like our class. So I was like, am I messing something up, or, like, is she just busy and hasn't sent it yet? And she was just busy. So then I felt bad for messaging her, being like, what's going on? But anyways, yeah. So basically, long story short, I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to submit the test. Yeah. I've worked on it for 11 hours. It's done. It might not be the best thing in the world, but I cannot care about it anymore. So I sent it to her. And then the next day, the only thing I had left for my classes was an exam that was, like, entirely open note. And he's like, yeah, all the answers are in the slides. So it's like you just pull up all the slides and then take the test. Grad school is a joke, everybody, just so you know. Don't be intimidated by grad school. But yeah, so I had that to do, but I was like, no, I'm just going to, like, I don't know, kind of, like, put it off, like, relax a little bit. I just took an 11-hour exam. Like, yeah. I deserve a little bit of a break. And I tried to really relax, but, like, I couldn't. I did, like, 10 things that day. Like, I watched, like, 2 episodes. I don't know why. I was just, like, trying to fill my time. I was like, yeah, let me really relax. So I was like, okay, I'm going to watch some TikTok. I'm going to watch some YouTube videos. Then I'm like, oh, I forgot about this TV show that I was watching. Let me watch the 2 new episodes. And then let me try to read a book. And then, I don't know, let me do this other thing. Let me make a collage. I don't know. I was trying so hard. I was trying so hard to, like, do things that were like, oh yeah, do things that are enjoyable to me. But then at the end of the day, I was like, I feel like I did everything and then nothing all at once. So like that's where I'm at right now.
That's super, like, scary. Like, that's, like, the thing is, like, not just you're trying to relax and you're, like, doing so many things, you're like, this will make me relax.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I will ever relax.
I don't know. I guess it's hard because I don't know if I necessarily maybe went in with the intention of relaxing.
Yeah.
But more just, like, here are fun things that, like, I know I'll enjoy to, like, give myself, like, a break kind of thing. But then, and in a way, like, I was procrastinating taking the exam, too, because I was like, I don't really feel, like, mentally in the right headspace to, like, put forth that work and effort. But ultimately, like, I felt like I couldn't, like, it wasn't fulfilling, is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. There was no fulfillment within this attempted relaxation and enjoyment period. Yeah, so that, well, it's just hard, too, because, like, I think sometimes I'm like, yeah, I never want to have a 9-to-5 because it just eats up all your time and you can never do anything. But yeah. Then at the same time, like, if I am not constantly busy, I'm like, what do I do with myself? So sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, like, the ideal life scenario for me. Well, and I mean, what that would look like.
I don't know. Yes, because I don't have a 9-to-5. So I have, like, yeah. I have an 8:30 to 12, and then, like, a 3 to 9.
Yeah. Well, so that's, have, yeah, me for field as well.
I have a very unique schedule, and sometimes I wish I did have a 9-to-5 because I just want to, like, the be consistency. Done.
That's true. Yeah. I guess that was what was interesting today because I still have a week of fields left, even though I finished classes. And usually my week would look like, okay, I'm doing fields. But when I don't have, so, like, I'll have fields from, like, 10 to 6, right? One day. So it's like, okay, in the morning I need to do a little, like, an hour of something beforehand or afterwards, you know, we need to record or I need to do homework or RA work or something like that. So, like, most of my days end up turning into longer than the 8 hours that I'm supposed to be at field. So literally just being like, I have nothing to do. And being like, I can cook myself dinner and just sit on the couch and watch TV. Like, I'm envious of, like, that kind of 9-to-5 life in which, like, you can come home and know you can relax. Because I feel like when you're in school, you don't really get that as much.
Right.
I mean, I guess it depends on you and your personality, but my type A personality says absolutely not.
He's like, what do you mean? Free time? Don't you mean study time?
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. That's me.
Nice.
How about you?
Well, last week, so what happened was I, one of two things happened. I either got food poisoning from octopus, or it was food poisoning from eating directly after I touched a trash can in public.
I hope it's not the latter. That seems a little excessive. No offense to your body, but, like, it should take some, like, common trash germs.
Well, maybe I feel like it should be able to handle that. Bacteria.
I don't know. Well, did it go away fast, happened. Though?
Yeah, I was fine the next day. Good, but anyways, good. I was very pukey for a while there.
Yeah.
But I'm fine now, thankfully. It was a week ago today.
On this memorable day of 2020, I had food poisoning.
Possibly.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go to... I went to work in the morning, and then as I was driving home, I was like, oh, I feel it happening.
No.
So, like, I parked my car, I ran, I didn't even close my front door.
It was that much of an emergency.
I felt, like, sorry if anyone hates puking, to skip it, but, like, I felt the saliva in my mouth, you know, it was starting to come. I was like, oh no. But then I was fine afterwards, but I felt really miserable, so then I called Noam, and I was, like, crying. I was like, I feel bad. And then he was like, I have school, but I'm coming. So he, like, after his classes were over, he came over and made me soup, which was nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was at least not by myself, which was, like, the scariest part. Because, like, I've never really been sick and not at my parents' house.
Oh. I'm sorry, now I'm trying to think. I don't think I've been, like, throwing up sick anywhere but my parents' house. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like never felt...
For me, that's like a once every 2 year kind of situation that, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always call it a flu. I don't think it's a flu. I think it's a stomach bug is what that's supposed to be called, but...
I don't really know.
But... One time... Sorry, this is so random.
No,
one time, I may have said this already before, but one time I was trying to leave a grocery store and I was very overwhelmed because I was, you know, leaving a grocery store. And some lady tried to stop me and she had like a camera. And she's like, do you have a couple seconds to talk? And then my brain goes, well, you can't say no because she's already talking to you. And so I was like, okay. And then she starts asking me questions about the flu. And I'm a bad citizen of the United States, and I do not regularly get a flu vaccination for a bad reason. And the reason is one time I got it when I was 8 and it hurt, and I said never again. And because
You're
I'm
the
a person
worst kind of American.
I know. Because I'm a person of my word, that has stuck. And so she tried to ask me all these questions about the flu, and she was like, well, did you know, like, right now is flu season? I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, are you worried about getting the flu? And I was like, no, not really. Like, I just totally trashed her interview because she was really looking for, like, the concerned citizen and individual who's going to inspire everybody to get their vaccinations. Oh, and I was just like, I'm freaking out and would like to go, please. But yes, so that was terrifying. I will not be the same way about the coronavirus vaccine. That is very important. I think we should all get that.
Oh my god, but... if people don't get the corona vaccine, I will track them down.
Personally.
I will hack into the government database. I will come for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for me.
You have nothing else going on in your week? Just a stomach buggy?
Well, and then unluckily, so the kids that I nanny, they like somehow were like secondhand exposed to corona. But like they weren't exposed. They had been around someone that had been around
exposed.
Someone.
So the parents were like,
don't come in. To work the rest of the week. So I was like, I guess I just have mornings off the rest of the week.
Yeah, you're
which
so
is
free
nice.
Now.
I was like, what is sleeping?
Yeah. Because
everyone knows I have a wonky sleep schedule, but somehow I was able to fall asleep at a normal time every single night and like wake up at like 9 a.m.
I am
feeling
so
fully refreshed.
proud. That's
Thank you.
amazing.
Thank you all.
Hooray.
And I started taking Adderall.
Yeah.
Which is kind of okay working.
What do you
Honestly,
mean?
I feel like it's not like that effective. So I'm going to talk to my doctor about it tomorrow. But
Okay,
I don't
yeah.
know how to say maybe you should up the dose without sounding like a drug addict.
Well, you can just... Well, one, you can just say what you just said is... I don't really feel like it's working, and here are the ways in which I think it could... the ways in which I wish it would help...
Yeah. 'Cause
X, Y, and
I
Z
still feel
symptoms.
like I'm just, like, kind of... like, not sleeping and just thinking about things too not much.
Okay, so then maybe the other thing. Do you remember how you told me that, like, she said that maybe the, like, sleeping problems could be anxiety related?
Yeah.
Maybe you can re-remind her of that, and then see what her opinions on that are.
Right? Yeah.
So.
I'll just be like, listen, ma'am, I'm still not getting things done. And also I forget to take it sometimes, which I feel like is its own problem.
Yeah, you need to put a reminder on your phone or like take it when you take your birth control or something.
Good idea.
I'm just full of ideas.
You're the expert. You're the true expert here. But yeah, that's
just
me.
Just a problem solver.
That's me. So, yes, everybody, here we are, two human ladies.
Living our alien lives.
Okay. Anyways, folks,
okay.
So our topic for today is, well, we're hoping that we could find a guest, but we couldn't find one, to talk about, how your culture affects, the expectations that you or your, or people around you place on your body. And so we can only talk about two cultures, which is Hispanic and white. So sorry, everybody. We're doing our best. We'll try to find some more guests in the future.
Yeah, I think this can be a revisited topic. You know, Gianna and I could use more friends. So
if you want to be,
if you want to be our friend, then you can talk about your culture on this podcast.
And if you want to watch me eat. Like a mukbang, then feel free to slide on into our DMs.
Yeah. Gianna, do you want to, like, start? Or what were you hoping to, like, mainly address, I guess? I feel like what's going to be interesting is I feel like our perspectives on the Hispanic part might be different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically what happened was I read this article about... I read this article about this girl. Her name is Brianna Marquez, and she is a model and Latina and a weightlifter. So basically what she says in this article that was on Refinery29 is like about how her family kind of pressured her into... like not being like into like sometimes she was too thin and sometimes she was too big for even when her body was the same, and you know, so and how her doctor kind of was like, oh, you have to get weight loss surgery because your liver is under stress, and then she was like, no, I don't want to have surgery, and so she just like was
like changed her
she just changed
eating and exercise habits.
Yeah, and she had already been eating really healthily and stuff and like normally, and that when her doctor said that to her, so she was like, no, like I'm not gonna do that, and she just kept doing the same thing that she was doing, and then her tests came out fine. They were like she was fine. So basically she's like a model now and like everything, and she's like, you don't have to conform to the Latino like body expectations, is like curvaceous but slender. Like, you don't have to conform to that.
Oh, the slim, to be beautiful. Thick life. Right.
And that's kind of what inspired me for the episode, because I felt like I resonated a lot with her story, because I feel like my family has always been like, oh, like, curvy, like, oh, like, so cute, whatever. But then in other points have been, like, super shady about it. Like, one time my mom gave me stretch mark cream. I was like, do I look like a pregnant woman? Absolutely not.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
I didn't even think I had stretch marks. I was like, where are they?
Yeah.
You gonna point them out, mm-hmm. mother?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Or, like, if I ever felt bad about my body, like, you know, she would say, like, oh, we can work on that. Like, you could just eat healthier. I'm like, no, you're supposed to tell me I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
So I feel like I related a lot to that. And I just wanted to, like, talk about, I wanted to know about Marie's feelings. Because we have, like, we're both, like, Hispanic in a way. But I feel like Marie's upbringing was very different than mine, so I just wanted to know how you feel culturally, like, affected about your body and stuff.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, so I guess, like, for clarification purposes, since I don't know if we've, like, clarified before our ethnic backgrounds, have we?
No.
No? We just referred to it very blasé-ly. Okay, so for me personally, I hate that I use percentages, but mm-hmm. like, I don't know, makes it make sense in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I identify as like 25% Peruvian and 75% German. And that kind of skews things, but basically what that means is that my dad's side is German, my grandparents, his parents, immigrated here from Germany
mm-hmm.
after World War II, I think. So they are very German, so I can speak about that kind of German-ish culture. For me, sometimes it's, like, hard to figure out the line between, like, what's German culture and what's just, like, them. But I'll try my best. Then on my mom's side, her mother is Peruvian, lived in Peru, came to the States to go to school, and then met my grandfather, who was American. And I don't know. He was basically German, maybe Polish and some other European-esque things, so I just lumped that into the German part. So, yeah, basically, and then my mom has, like, three sisters. They were all born in Peru, but my mom was an accident child, so she was born in America and didn't live in Peru. So I feel I have, like, a lot of family in Peru. I've been to Peru once, unfortunately.
Really?
Only in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When?
When I was, like, in fourth grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brothers have never been, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
But they were born.
My grandfather. They were not born when I was in fourth grade.
Yeah, they were.
No. Gianna, how old would I have been in fourth grade?
What?
How old would I have been in fourth grade?
8 or 9.
Like 9.
And how?
Am I 9 years older than my brothers?
You're not.
No.
They were already born, is what I'm saying. Why didn't they go with you?
Oh, I thought... I'm so dumb. I thought you said they weren't born yet. Or, like, they were just born. And I was like, what do you mean they were just born? No, I don't know why. It was just me. I think it was because my dad didn't go. So it was just me and my mom. So it would have been a bit too much. Because, okay, so if I was in fourth grade, they would have been in kindergarten at the time. So they
and
were
they're twins.
Like four. Yeah, 4 or 5. And there's 2 of them. So that's too much to handle, I guess.
And they're really hyper when they're little.
Oh my god, yeah. So that would have been like a bit of a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, in that way, and I guess like how I interact with that side of the family does feel Hispanic to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like for you, do you want to talk about your ethnic background?
Sure.
So it makes sense to people.
Everybody. My mom is from El Salvador, and her family is... like pretty much like Spaniard, like conquistadors, and also indigenous. So, like, my mom's 23andMe, whatever, it was a large percentage of indigenous.
Oh,
And
that's cool.
yeah, it was really cool. My mom is really proud of her indigenous culture. And then my dad's side, my grandfather's Italian, my grandmother's German, but culturally he is Italian, so Italian Hispanic.
Bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Shorter
guess like
explanation, but I was
yeah.
raised mostly with my mom's family. Like, we didn't really do a lot with my dad's family just because of geographical
Brilliant.
distance. And also personality clashing on the Bartolini side, but that's a story for another day
Ooh,
that we will
that's
not
the
be getting
tea.
into. And yeah, but that's my ethnic background.
Yeah. So when we say that we're Hispanic, what we mean is that Gianna is the most Hispanic here, and I am the most white here. And that's that.
But the thing is, we both look white.
Yeah, but I would argue I look significantly whiter than you.
Marie has blonde hair naturally.
Yeah.
And I just look really, how do
Yeah.
you say it? Like, what was the word I used? Ambiguously.
Ambiguous, yeah.
I look ambiguously ethnic.
Yeah. I feel like that's like an accurate statement.
It's on my resume.
Amazing.
I said I can play an ambiguously ethnic character.
But yeah. So I guess what's like interesting, because I was kind of thinking about it, so I don't know if this was like your experience, is that I feel like in terms of like my Hispanic heritage, I really did chalk up all the bad parts of me to that. Which sounds very bad
I want to hear
to
about it.
say.
No, it doesn't.
When
It's
I
just
think
a
about it, but
fact.
it's kind of like true. Yeah, so I guess like one, I have like very specific, I guess, memories throughout my life in a way of how different parts of how I look specifically could possibly be attributed to my Hispanic heritage.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, wait, stop. Also
We might,
me.
yeah, some of it might be the same, but some of it might be different. So, okay, the first one, which I don't think is something, I guess, that like we always think about when we think about body image, but personally for me, like body hair, even though I know now that I have PCOS and that could be an
You
issue,
have
but as a,
PCOS?
yeah, I do.
What?
Where have you been, Gianna?
Why
We can
did I
talk about it
not
later.
know this?
Because I like went to Liana's gyno and made her my gyno, and then I was
N
like, I
n
think I
what's her
have
name again?
PCOS. Nadine.
Nadine.
Yeah.
If you live in the Maryland area.
I knew Nadine. She's great. Anyways. Yeah. I mean, and it runs in my family, so it's like
Oh,
makes
I didn't know
sense.
that.
Yeah. But so like when I was younger, well, now too. Particularly like what stood out to me in terms of body hair, because I was, you know, a child. So I guess we're like talking like really elementary school at this point, right? Is like my eyebrow shape and how I like grew eyebrow hair, I guess. And then I guess later on, not in elementary school, like having like a quote unquote mustache, right? What do we call that? Like a femstache? I don't know what
Mustache.
people use fun terms for that. But anyways, so I remember like asking my mom one day, like I guess basically about like why I had so much body hair. This was also, well, no, I don't know. I was starting to think about like normal like leg hair and stuff like that too. But I think that's like a separate part of this story. Or like unrelated. But I remember like asking her like why do I have so much hair? And then she like tells me this whole like story about how like well, you know, in Peru, people need to have more body hair because there's like mosquitoes and stuff like that. So Like to prevent against like malaria and other like insect transmitted what's the word? Diseases. Like you need to like
Okay,
have
but
more body hair.
literally
So I think
though,
she
I
was like
feel
trying
like.
to explain some evolutionary reason. How
Right.
much of that is true, not
I was gonna
entirely
say, I feel
sure.
like I get so many bug bites, and I do have a lot of arm hair.
I am free from the evil that is mosquitoes because they do not like my blood, but that's, I think, a personal superpower I have. But I took this very much to heart, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know like the degree to which this is true, but I like for sure, especially like through middle school, had a lot of insecurity about the fact that like I have eyebrow hairs that grow below my natural arch, like on my eyelids and weird places that they're not supposed to be. And then like kind of had like a unibrow. Like it
I
wasn't.
never noticed that about you. I never noticed that. I never thought you had an unusual amount of hair.
I feel like I was like hypersensitive to it, and the fact that like when I did get like an eyebrow waxing for the first time when I was in middle school, like I do remember, and this is not to say anything bad about Jesse, because it wasn't like traumatic or anything like that, but I do remember Jesse being like, "Oh my God, your eyebrows look so good." So there definitely was
No.
like some kind of like
I don't
reinforcement.
remember this at all.
Well, you weren't there, I don't think.
Excuse
It was like
me.
in the hallway, is what
You
I
just asked me if I
remember.
remember that. And I said, no,
Did
I
I?
don't remember. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you're like,
Do
you
I
remember?
suffer from short-term memory loss? I don't think I didn't. If I did say that, because I clearly was so lost in the tangent that I was going down, what I meant was, do you remember if that I got my eyebrow waxed?
No.
I don't know.
I don't remember you getting your eyebrows waxed.
No, I don't think you would remember the comment that Jesse made because it was literally, if I remember correctly, it was in a hallway that this happened. So you weren't present. I don't know how you could have remembered it or why I said that. Anyways, my brain is dead. And what I'm trying to say is that kind of like did reinforce the fact that like, oh, there was a problem and I fixed the problem. The problem also is that like I am lazy and so I never wax my eyebrows. Or take care of that, basically. So that's like one weird thing that I do attribute or used to. I don't really care about it that much anymore, to be honest.
Well, I always thought that having a lot of body hair was from being Italian.
That's so funny.
And
I
like,
guess all cultures claim the excessive body hair. I don't know.
I mean, it could be both, but like, I remember
But was it like,
Gabrielle's.
for you, was it like how dark your hair was, or was
Yeah,
it,
it was
yeah.
like, it was really dark, and like, Gabrielle, my sister, had like really thick eyebrows, and like, her friend was so mean to her. Gabrielle was
No.
so innocent, excuse me. She was so
Yeah.
innocent, she did not know. And her friend goes, "You have a unibrow." Gabrielle was so hurt.
Yeah, I can understand. That's like super upsetting.
It was really upsetting.
Yeah, I think like the problem is that like my hair on my head slash my eyebrows like aren't really that, and like my mustache too. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that I notice and I feel like it's very apparent, but like is not necessarily like
Well, because your
as
hair,
apparent
like,
that I think about it.
maybe the rest of your body hair is darker, but like your hair is very, like, light,
Yeah, I
you
think
know, so it's
my facial
not noticeable.
it is lighter.
But like, Gabrielle, even for Christmas, I got her like a little mustache remover. It's so
Oh
cute.
yeah.
It's like a, it's so adorable. I used it for
What?
fun. I just wanted to know what it felt like. So when she wasn't
Is it?
home, I used it. It was like a
Yeah.
little,
Did it hurt?
like, no. I
I
got it
just
at
use.
TJ Maxx.
Oh my
It was
goodness. I
eight
use this
dollars.
like Nair wax.
Oh.
And sometimes it like burns my face, but
No, don't not do that.
it's very finicky. I like let the bottle sit too long before buying a new one, so like I needed to leave it on for like the max time in order for it to do anything. I don't know. Anyways, side tangent. I guess good time to reiterate that like body hair is chill. And I feel like honestly, like the older that I've gotten, I don't know if this is the same for you or not, but the older that I've gotten, the less I care about body hair.
Yeah, I used to like shave my armpits almost every day, and now I just give it a couple of days. It's actually pretty short because when I'm going to be wearing a leotard, and that's why, as I used to wear a leotard all the time, like every single day, where you could see my armpits. So I was really self-conscious.
Yeah.
And there was this girl in my ballet class who you know, so I'm not going to talk about it on the air. I'll tell you later. Who had literally a long armpit hair, and everyone made fun of her.
Uh-huh.
But it was hilarious. I'm so sorry. But anyways, so I didn't want to be made fun of, so I would always shave my armpits every single day. But now, like, I just let it grow a little bit. My legs, don't know when I last shaved them. Mm-hmm. Cannot tell you. And even, like, my other areas, like, every time I was going to have sex, like, I used to be like, ooh, gotta shave. But now I'm like, sometimes I forget and I feel a little bit bad. But I try to keep up with it just for, like, aesthetic purposes. You know, when
look
good down there.
I don't know.
Also,
I feel like
it hurts.
I go...
Because when it rubs against your skin, it kind of gets
irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it's a personal preference thing. Like,
no, for sure.
I feel like the problem that I have is, like, once you, like, start shaving things, like, you kind of commit yourself to that life in a way a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what bothers me now is, like, I kind of like growing out my leg hair, but then it gets, like, patchy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I don't like aesthetically how that looks. But, like, when people have, like, hair
patchy.
Normally, I'm kind of like, oh, that's fine.
Well, I mean, the longer you let it grow out, the less patchy it will be. Because I had some classmates of mine at SUNY Poor Choice, and they all had luscious leg hair.
Yeah.
And
I never
commit
that long.
Female identifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes it's fun to just play around with that when you get, like, less peer pressured into being a...
Like, during Corona, I feel like I did not shave my armpits.
There's no need. Just exist, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay.
I say during Corona, as if Corona's not
still
going on.
It hasn't ended, yeah. yeah. It's been almost like a year, which is ridiculous, but here we are. Making it through.
Anyways.
Yeah, back to the original topic. The other thing, which I feel like you can heavily relate to, is body shape.
Mm-hmm.
And how I've attributed my body shape to being Hispanic. Which I think more of these things, for me, have been less reinforced by my family and more reinforced by my peers.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but the Hispanic stereotype is having a voluptuous
big
bottom
booty.
Half. so, I think when we add the male gaze to this equation, right?
God.
Like, I don't know. I guess, like, it's very frustrating. The reason I keep aggressively sighing is because, like, for me, having wider hips and having a butt, more or less. I probably had more of a butt at other points in my life than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless. Having wider hips and a butt, but, like, a smaller top portion.
Mm-hmm.
A pear shape, if you will. If you are so inclined to label bodies by fruit.
I can relate.
But as a result, like, I feel like that really warped my perception of myself in terms that I've always felt, quote-unquote, bigger or, quote-unquote, fat, even though that is not a feeling nor a bad thing, because of, quote-unquote, how wide I was in, like, my bottom half or whatever. And as a result, like, yeah. So, like, as a result, that too, like, affected, you know, the size of my thighs and how I acquire muscle and fat and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we unfortunately existed through the thigh gap era. So that did mess with my head, like, a little bit. Like, as well. So, like, in the pursuit of thinness, like, the ideal would be, like, basically to minimize that area as much as possible. And I remember, like, in in treatment, we always did like the, well, I don't know the validity of having to do these things. There might be some reasons that it could be fat phobic and not great, but they had us do like these drawings of ourselves, and we would like, they were like kind of body tracing. So first you would draw what you thought you looked like in a real person scale, and then you would get your body trace and you would compare. And the point of it was to be like, look, dysphoria. Like, or just, sorry, not dysphoria. Jesus Christ.
Dysmorphia.
Dysmorphia. Apologies to the trans community, which experiences dysphoria and not dysmorphia. Anyways, okay.
¿Por qué no los dos? You know what I mean?
Yes, could be both, but I meant to say dysmorphia. So, yes, not dysphoria. But yeah, so it's like supposed to point that out, and I do remember like vividly that the parts that I would quote unquote get wrong or not accurately draw was always like my stomach area and then like my hips and thighs and stuff like that. So that kind of stuck with me, and I think like I've gotten quote unquote compliments being like, oh, you know,
hey,
just like,
hey, yeah, lady, nice ass.
Yeah, or something like that. Like, I remember, like, oh my God, this upset me so much. Like, one time I was walking around with, College Park with one of my friends or whatnot. And at this point, like, I was probably closer to, like, being at, like, a heavier weight or whatnot. Because at this point in, like, my journey or whatever, like, I was binging pretty much on the regular. I was feeling very uncomfortable because, as one knows, if you attend college, if you're going out, the goal is to wear something that shows off your body, basically. You know. So I was feeling kind of uncomfortable. I was feeling rather exposed. And then some guy makes a freaking comment as I'm walking by, minding my own goddamn business, about me being thick. And to me, that was the opposite of a compliment.
No.
And it, like, ruined my mood. Which I think, like, kind of also comes back down to, like, I've personally never felt, like, the pressure to be slim thick. And I know that's like true for a lot of communities. Like, I did co-facilitate a body image group for high schoolers at the school that I had my field placement at, and so we had a mix of different ethnic identities there, in particular a lot of the girls of color were talking about the pressure to be slim thick, and kind of how that impacted them. So I know that can be prevalent in those communities. But yeah, I personally never felt that pressure, but it's like weird when you
I feel like it's like,
I guess,
not
have like, yeah, like a pear-shaped body or anything that could potentially give you more curves other than just like a straight up and down kind of figure, which is all good too. I'm losing my train of thought, but basically I don't think that's like ever culturally that hasn't like impacted me that way. I feel like I've always subscribed to the white stereotype of like just being thin and straight, I guess.
Yeah, I was always like, because I was in ballet, and a lot of my friends were naturally petite, especially just because with the amount of exercise that we were doing, I was not even curvy at all. I was never, like, no one would have said that to me, except for, I will say, one time at a Rosh Hashanah party, I distinctly remember.
The fact that I was also just thinking about this, but failed to bring it up.
there was a competition. Everyone was, whose ass is bigger, Gianna's or Marie's?
Yeah, Liana was in it as well, though.
But Liana has a tiny butt.
That's, I think she's very offended by that.
Sorry, Liana.
She wanted to, yeah, I don't know. It was, like, a whole thing. But, like, I guess, like, the thing is, like, personally for me, or how I view it, is I think, like, our Hispanic heritage provoked situations like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what, like, I mean? It's like,
the objectification of our body shape, whereas someone who is just plain saltine white is not being provoked in the same way, despite possibly having the same shape. Anyway, so I, like, never was super curvy to begin with, but I did have a little bit of a curve, in the booty area, and, like, so I always felt like it was so much more than it probably was, just in comparison to my classmates and my friends. But I also was always like, oh, why couldn't I get the white jeans like my sister, who is, like, very squarish. So I was like, why can't I be white? But I like all the other stuff about being Hispanic, so it's like I couldn't really complain too much. I like my culture. I, like, love being Hispanic. It's, like, a huge part of me. But it was, like, that kind of, like, oh, I'm, like, too Hispanic to be in the world that I wanted to be in. Because everyone had to be, like, a certain shape to fit in, and I was like, I don't fit in. I mean, looking back on it, I probably wasn't that good, and that's probably why, but...
So, okay, let me... So, for you, was it more just a general sense of not quite fitting in, or was there, like, a specific standard that you felt like you were supposed to achieve that you didn't quite meet the mark? Because, like, if you said, like, you and Gabrielle have different body types.
Yeah, so Gabrielle has, like, a very square, like, a normal straight body type, and she was very slim growing up, whereas I was always a little softer, a little rounder, and I always blamed that on, like, oh, Hispanic heritage, girl. But it was also, like, my body is shaped the way it is, whether that be because of my ethnic background or whatever. And it just, like, the expectations for me were not going to happen. It's just my body, that was as small as it was going to be. And it was just, like, some people are just smaller. And so it's, like, because, like, I just naturally had, like, more curvy body, even though it could not be described. And currently, I don't think I could be described as curvy at all. I think I'm pretty, like, average sized.
Yeah.
But just, like, in the field that I'm in, there's a lot of white straight bodies.
So I guess the pressure was definitely, like, just to be smaller then.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you need to grow into your curves or gain more weight in order to be curvier.
But that was from that side. But then from my family, it was, like, oh, like, amazing. Like, thick legs. Wow. And I'm, like, no, stop saying that to me.
Okay, so... We felt actually kind of similar about it then.
Yeah, like, my family was like, wow, curvy body. So nice. But also slim on the top and thick on the bottom. Wow. And I was like, oh my god, no, stop, please. No, do not continue your words. They're they're done. So I'm so glad I've discovered boyfriend jeans and, like, mom jeans. Like, oh my god, like, I'll avoid comments for the rest of my life. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a thought, but then it went away very fast.
So, like, I felt, like, kind of weirdly, like, pressured in one direction, but also, like, if I would get a little bit, like, less toned and a little more just soft, then I would also hear the repercussions of that.
From your family?
From my family.
Okay. Yeah, that's yeah, that's, like, interesting, because I also read the article that you were sharing earlier, and I feel like it sounds like your experiences were kind of like hers, just in the sense that, like, there was, like, a lot of, I guess, like, backhanded compliments.
Yeah, in or the way contradictory. That,
like, yeah,
statements.
messages. Yeah, what about? Do you feel like there was any? Like, cultural influence from your Italian side?
No, my dad, first of all, we
Frank's
don't
so
really talk
chill.
to his head of family. My dad literally would, I could get a haircut and he wouldn't notice. I literally tried to bleach my hair while I was at home and it looked hideous. Not the time that you did it, but like the time I tried to do it alone
Yeah.
after that. And he never noticed. I dyed it back to brown, also didn't notice. He doesn't notice if I get a new outfit. He wouldn't notice. He wouldn't say anything either. He's not like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say it to me, but apparently he has said stuff to my mom before. And she's told me, and I'm like, why are you telling me this?
What's the tea with that? Like,
Like,
good
he'd be
things,
like,
bad things?
Giada's looking really fit these days. Like, if I was working out
Oh
or
my
something, he would be
goodness.
like, she's looking pretty muscular these days.
I
Thanks,
don't know,
Dad.
like, if that's just an observation or if he means something by
Exactly. Who knows? I can't ask him. He
Oh
doesn't
my
know I know
goodness.
these things.
Oh.
Like, my mom will say, like, oh, your dad says all these nice things about you. I'm like, why doesn't he say them to me?
I feel like that's the dad way of life. You don't give direct compliments.
Yeah, like, would your dad say something to you about your body?
No. I don't think
No.
he ever has.
Would your mom?
Oh yes, she has. Well,
At this point in your
no.
life or previously?
Well, okay. I guess to be fair, the comments that she's made have never been derogatory. It's been out of concern, particularly like while I guess relapsing, although I didn't really categorize it as relapsing at the time. So yeah, she has I not in the way that like a lot of people I know have to struggle with like negative and derogatory and like nitpicky comments about like how much they weigh. Like I don't think she's ever like when I was at my highest weight, I don't think she's ever said anything about it. Who has said something about my weight
Your
is my
grandma?
grandmother. I so I guess to talk about that side, so when I mean my grandmother, I mean
You're
my German side of
German.
the family. And so I guess to like give the appropriate context to like fully describe what this is like is so first of all, like when I was growing up, I was regularly seeing my grandparents, especially like over the summer. They were like our babysitters while my parents were at work. So what I remember most about that is eating lunch, just eating at her house, I guess. Lunch in particular, because it always went like a very specific way.
Oh no.
So like I mean, obviously like this was from, I guess, honestly, like through high school, basically.
Oh,
So a
okay.
long period of my time, yeah. Long period of my life. I mean, as I got older, it wasn't necessary to go over to her house, but like we would still go there, you know, a couple weeks at a time just 'cause. But yeah, so we would go to my grandmother's house, you know, we had eaten breakfast at home or whatever. Go do shenanigans over there. Probably go to the pool at some point, whatever. And lunchtime would come around and our lunches always looked like this. It would like She would cook something for us. It'd be ready by like 12, basically, exactly, all the time. We would always rotate between like the same five dishes.
Schnitzel? Pierogies?
No, it was
Ah.
like we did have breaded chicken or breaded veal
Schnitzel.
sometime. That was like one. Yeah, we didn't call it schnitzel though, which is funny. So we did have that. We had goulash. Goulash is actually, I know I'm vegan now, but goulash, I have fond memories of goulash. Because
What
we'd
is
have
it?
it like with egg. So it's
It
like,
just sounds scary to me. That's why
yeah,
I'm
it's
saying, oh
like
no.
meat. It's meat in this like brown gravy sauce. I don't really know what kind of meat it's made out of. But it's like chunks of meat. It gets really soft and tender. And there's like a brown gravy sauce, and you have it over. Well, we had it over egg noodles.
You said gulag?
Goulash. Go look it
Goulash.
up. Yeah. I do have fond memories of it, although.
It's a soup.
Yeah, meat so I guess like it's kind of soupy.
Seasoned with paprika.
Oh yeah, there is paprika.
It's the national dish of Hungary.
Yeah, I don't know why we ate it. I don't think it's like uniquely German. Because
you liked
but...
it?
Well, I don't know why my grandmother made it for me, I guess is what I'm trying
because
to say.
Because it's delicious, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah. We'd have like lentils cooked in a very particular way with like mashed potatoes, which I still eat. Yeah, anyways. And we like had like very on like hot birthdays and stuff like that, we'd have very specific like German dishes depending on what we were like in the mood for, I guess, or whatever. But yeah, so we would have our lunch, and then my brothers and I were likely to have, you know, a second plate of whatever it was, and then we would always have like dessert right after, and it would either be Jello or ice cream. Don't ask why, just like what it was. But so like it was very, I guess to put it this way, like it was very encouraged for us to eat a lot, in the sense that like I was constantly praised for being able to like eat so much while being like a thin person, like up through middle school is what I mean. Like I was just like, you know, a child or whatever.
I mean, I feel like with especially that age of people, like that was like when they were survived World War II and stuff, they had no food, so it's like,
yeah, eat. And like, yeah, so I think like, and I know that can definitely be a part of some cultures, is to very be much like, I need you to eat all the time, not all the time, but I need you to eat to know that like you're well fed, and this is like my sign of love for you or whatever. So I do feel like that was like kind of a part of our culture was, you know, my grandfather doesn't talk that much. My grandmother in particular kind of being like, and I mean, it's not just to me that she did this to like my brothers as well. It's like, are you sure you don't want another plate? Are you all done? Like, are you sure you don't want to kind of, yeah, like just definitely a proponent of like the clean your plate club. And please have seconds or thirds. You are a growing child. So I guess or whatever, like personally for me, I feel like that shaped my perception of my body and food and like how I should be able to look, I guess, if that makes sense. So because like I was a child who was like was in more or less like described kind of as like a bottomless pit, like could, or it's like have you ever heard about the like trope that they have in movies where it's like the skinny girl that can eat like a lot of food or junk food and how that's highly praised? I feel like it was like that, but I was like a child at the time.
Yeah, I have a student like that.
Yeah. And so like while that's cool, fine, whatever, my metabolism did not stay that the same as I like, you know, went through puberty and stuff like that. So for me that was like very disheartening, I guess, to have like that be my reality and then no longer be my reality. So I guess like my perception was like, oh, it's like a good thing to be thin and also be able to eat so much, but now that I can't eat so much, or I can't eat so much in order to stay thin and stay thin, then I think that kind of led down the, well, I guess I can't trust myself around food.
Okay.
Yeah, so not great. But I, so in that weird way, I do think that kind of led to some body image issues that I had, and then also like the desire to lose weight. So like very like inadvertently, but the other thing though is like I do remember when I was like going through the recovery process, and I think this was like around the time that I guess sophomore year. I guess this really only makes sense to you, Gianna. But yeah, so like I was at Renfrew and was like about to leave Renfrew. And then like go into just doing outpatient or whatnot.
Okay.
And I had gained more weight than I that than what I was told was medically necessary. A moment of silence, because that sets so many people up for failure, honestly. I remember going over to my grandmother's house, obviously feeling really insecure about what I looked like, how much I weighed, and stuff like that. And my grandmother goes, "You're still too thin." And I was like, "Oma, what?" I don't feel that way, number
Oma?
One.
Oma? That's so cute.
Yeah. We call her grandparents Oma and Opa.
Opa.
But
that's so cute. That's like Appa. That's like Appa.
That is like Appa. That is very cute. But yeah, so then, like, I tried to have, like, a conversation. So it was, like, things like that that, like, I guess kind of triggered me in the moment without her meaning to, because she, like, literally just had zero understanding of, and I don't know, like, why she said it either. I don't even know if that's, like, a cultural thing. But, I don't, well, because, I mean, I think what's weird, too, is, like, she also has, like, weird perceptions of, like, diet.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. Like, when she came over to the United States, like, her diet kind of changed pretty drastically. Mm-hmm. And then she was also, I think this is kind of funny. She was working as, like, a, I don't know if it's, like, a maid.
A service worker.
Sure. Like, she, like, cooked, did housework and stuff like that for, I don't know if they were, like,
a housekeeper.
Orthodox families, but Jewish families, and they kept kosher and stuff like that. And I guess throughout that time or whatnot, she felt like the change in her diet caused her to lose weight and whatever. And I feel like she brings that up quite constantly. So I don't know. It's just
life.
Like that. Yeah, I don't. I don't know. But I think it's like that. I feel like even though we don't directly talk about it, she clearly has some of her own perceptions of, like, diets that are good, bad, whatever, and stuff like that. Because I feel like German culture in particular is, like, very stereotypically known for, like, being a meat and potato kind of culture.
Right.
Which, to some degree, I would say that's part of what we ate when we were over there. But I feel like she's always had some, like, thoughts and feelings on that. And that kind of impacted, at least probably, like, her relationship with her body and whatnot. But she's, like, also really old at this point, so I don't think she can really care too much about...
You'd be surprised at the vanity of the elderly.
I don't know. But, yeah, so a needless collection of anecdotes to say that, I guess that also felt pretty contradictory.
Yeah.
Kind of, where it was like, yay for being thin and being able to eat, and then also... No, you're too thin. Even, you know, when I was not.
Yeah, who knows?
As thin as I have been in the past. So, a confusing collection. I really can't fully navigate that situation.
But you know what? You made it through. Here we are.
Made it through. Yeah.
Ambiguously ethnic women who look white in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you have it, folks.
That's us.
If you want to share with us your experience, maybe Marie, you can put one of those little cool things, like, on our Instagram story, and people can comment on it. Or you can DM us at @cerealfromthebox on Instagram, at cereal, as in cereal, from the box. Or me. You can follow me personally, Gianna Bartolini, on Instagram. Email us at cerealfromthebox@gmail.com. Yeah, any other closing statements, Elsa?
No, just would love to hear from you all. And remember, too, if you befriend us, you can be on this podcast.
Yeah, you could be on the show. We need friends. I live in New York, so if you're in New York and you want to be friends, that's all I gotta say.
Brilliant.
KK, bye. Okay.
Stay safe. Bye.